going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, we got bonus chipper today because there's so much to discuss. We got the NFL draft, we got the Wild, but we're starting with the Timberwolves. I picked up on our mutual friend Johnny K. I was in the building yesterday like you. I have been in that building since the start. And again, there's recency bias to everything. I've never heard it louder. I have not heard it louder. It was a brilliant NBA game of stars, of controversial calls, of great coaching, bizarre coaching. But let's get to the guy who had a virtuoso performance on a day when Luka almost had 40, when LeBron was defying his age again. You're just like, there's no way this guy is 40 years old. He played such a great all-around game until he and Luka ran out of steam. You're calm. We're getting to that. But let's just talk Ant. You know, the way basketball works with five guys, the way the NBA works, that yes, a team and cohesion and coaching and strategy, it all matters. And I could give you about 17 more descriptions. But so often, Chipper, it's, does my star, as the late great Bernsey would say, is my big knocker better than your big knocker? And the last 2 years in the playoffs, then 22-year-old, now 23-year-old, went up against his idol, Kevin Durant, when he had the better team. Okay, Ant cleared the better team, out. That's a top 15 player. Then in the next series, and they're not going mano-mano, but again, it's star versus star. Mm-hmm. The best player in the league by far is Joker. It's not, to me, it's not even close. And Ant's team won 4-3. And now he's going against the second greatest player of all time, who still has about 90% of his skills in him. And then a guy who's, he's chunky, but he's about the fourth or fifth best player in the game. And Anthony Edwards' team is leading 3-1. It's pretty stunning what he and even his first year against Memphis in the playoffs, he in the regular season, I think if people ranked him, he might have been like the 7th, 8th, 9th best player, but he absolutely goes to a different level in the playoffs, and it was fully on display Friday night and Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we're seeing playoff Ant reappear again, and I thought he showed a lot of growth as a player last postseason against Phoenix in the way that he handled the way they guarded him. He was more a facilitator.
Yep.
He let the game – he played a smart game, right? This is a totally different Ant, what I think we're seeing, another level of his game where when they need him in clutch time, which this hasn't been a good clutch time team all season.
Second worst team in the league.
But the last two games – I thought Friday night it was darn near perfect.
Yep.
It was 103-103 coming out of that timeout with like 4:50 left. And the last 5 minutes, they basically did everything right.
And he was the leader.
And he was the leader because he hit that three coming out of the timeout.
Yep.
Then yesterday, they're down 10 going into the fourth quarter. But even, to me, it was even before then. And
I agree.
I thought the seminal moment was that flourish where he – what quarter was? I can't remember. But when he shoved LeBron when he was playing him on defense.
Yeah.
And that was – I think that was Ant saying, you're the king, but we're not backing down, and this is our
mm-hmm.
series.
Yep.
And the way he just stood toe-to-toe with him, the way he stood toe-to-toe with Durant last year, he's fearless. I mean, he wants to knock down all the greats. And so – and then for him to play the way he did down the stretch, we're just seeing a different gear. And this is how superstars grow, right? Kind of level at a time. And he's taking his game to a totally different level than we've seen.
This is how you go far in the playoffs. That you have a superstar player who meets the moment, makes his teammates better. His teammates pick him up at times. And you face daunting challenges and overcome it. Because just staying with them, some point in second quarter when Luka and LeBron are just dominating the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in multiple threads, and I forget somebody, it's another guy I respect, said, hey, it's time for Ant to go to a different level. And guess what he did? And I'm sitting right across from the Wolves bench, and there was some great byplay between Ant and Finch, which I want to get to. But he makes the hoop and harm on a great play, and he pivots, and he stares at the Lakers bench for about 10 seconds, minimum 10 seconds, basically saying,
mm-hmm.
I am here. I know
yeah.
you have these two other guys out here, but I am going nowhere, nowhere.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was another, I'll use your term, seminal moment. I thought it was also, I'll just get the Ant Finch stuff. I'm right across from him. And there were numerous times where Finch is telling him, pass the ball, ball
yeah.
movement. And it makes sense. But when, to quote Finch, when you got a home run hitter, when you have that type of guy, you can be the coach Chip wants, the tic-tac-toe, the perfect orchestration. Sometimes you say, I don't care the play. You're going to come down. You're going to watch your star. Just size some guy up and just go on and go at him. And that's what he did repeatedly, along with running the offense. But sometimes it's just, I'm not passing. I'm scoring on anybody you have on me right now.
Yeah, and that flourish that you talked about where he stared at the bench, I think somebody on the Lakers bench said something to him that like lit a spark, because it was during that,
I think that's fair,
that sequence that I was talking about, because he scored like back to back and was guarding LeBron and then shoved him. He got going in a big way right there. I think somebody chirped at him and he was going back, because he did it like two or three straight possessions. He was all over him. So, but he you're right. He has he's found the right balance between looking for his own offense and generating, saying, get out of my way. I'm going to take this really important shot right here. But also making the right play and getting others involved. And I go back to Friday night where they're in, he drove around, was coming up the baseline on the Lakers side. It's the one he threw to, swung it out to the, to the perimeter to Nas to hit
mm-hmm.
that three.
Yes.
And Ant walked us through it after the game. He said, yeah, you know, the way they're playing us defensively, you're taking away in a corner. And I didn't even know who that was out there, but I knew one of my guys was going to be there. He said, I thought it was Nas, but it might have been Julius. He wasn't even really sure, but he knew he was going there. I mean, that's just smart play, right?
Yep.
That's not taking a hero shot there where you thought maybe he was going to do it. But he made the right play. So he's finding the right balance between, okay, I'm a superstar. I'm going to take the important shot, but also trusting his teammates that they're going to get done. And, you know, the thing that I appreciate him too, he could have a 40-point triple-double. And the first thing he says out of his mouth was, this game, Jaden McDaniels was the MVP, or
right.
Nas Reed was the MVP.
Yep.
He is the biggest cheerleader for his teammates, and I think that's important.
I do, too. I really do.
There's an endearing quality about it that he is the undeniable, you know, face right now of his team and, you know, one of the faces of the leagues. But he is so committed to making sure he elevates his teammates and wants them to get the recognition of the contributions that they're making. And it's true, too, because, I mean, Jaden McDaniels has been terrific. Julius Randle has been terrific. Oh. Nas has hit big shots. Yeah. Even when Nas was struggling yesterday, you know, he didn't play a good first half.
No, he didn't play a good first three quarters.
But then he makes the shots, right?
Yep.
And so
right.
I like that about Ant, that it's not, hey, look at me, what I'm doing. It's look at what my teammates are doing.
Well, we talked about this last Monday after they won game one, and there were just some dopes around the league who were saying, you know, they won despite Ant, and we were going, get out of here. He had 22 points. Yeah, he shot 8 of 22. If he makes one more shot, or two more shots, he's at his season average. Okay, so it wasn't like he was atrocious, but he had 9 boards and 8 assists. Yesterday again, 9 boards, 6 assists, leadership, including in the third quarter where they got boat raced. You know, and we're going to get to Redick and an indefensible decision. I'm with you 1,000%, indefensible. But that zone was working. And we think back to multiple games this year in the regular season against the Wolves when the zone befuddled them, especially that Milwaukee crazy comeback. In the end, who's the guy who's leading them through it and slowly making progress? It's him.
Yeah.
It's him.
Well,
23.
And I would say, too, we mentioned the assists. Look at his turnovers.
Yeah.
As much as...
Six in four games, right?
Yeah. 6 in 4 games, and
yep.
With as much...
Has the ball all the time.
He has the ball in his hand, and the defense that he's drawn. So, I mean, I think that's as impressive as the assist. Is like,
yep.
He's not going in there
you're
out
right.
of control.
Yes. Yep. Mate, you know, he's going to take more shots than you want if you're a head coach. He is. Guess what? All high-volume scorers do that. It's just yeah. a part of the trade-off. Okay, let's pause, come back right with Chip, and talk about the... I got it. Kareem, Magic, and Worthy are not coming off the bench. But when you have a 40-year-old icon and a chunky 27-year-old, you got to rest him 3-4 minutes. And J.J. Redick screwed up. Now, he could say they almost won the game, but I still will not defend the decision because guess what? You can't win the series that way. I'm going to talk Pella right now and then back to Chipper. Pella is just a great company. Pella at my house now. Pella the entire time. I've lived in this house. I loved how they changed the house in my kitchen last year. Love it. Was sitting there today. I was looking out the blinds and thinking, God, this is a lot better. Now, I'm finally moving. I've been in the house for 20 years in that neighborhood for 2 decades plus. It's time to move. And the house I'm going to, guess what? Pella windows and doors. 100 years in business. I reached out multiple ways. I went to PellaNorthland.com. That's right, PellaNorthland.com, and had them come out for a free in-home visit. I also went to their showroom because I wanted to see everything in person. I went to the Plymouth showroom. You can go to the Woodbury showroom. They work with your style, with your budget, and make it great for you. And now, for just a couple more days in April, it's $750 off your Pella project and 0% APR for 12 months. Reach out today, PellaNorthland.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What happened to Warren yesterday? What do you want to tell me?
Nothing. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It's because he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Chip Scoggins, tell me you love Warren Zevon.
I don't know a lot of his okay. songs. But,
hang up on him. Hang up on him.
That's right.
Where's Suhan? Suhan!
That's right. He does have the one song I love. What is it? Keep Me in Your Thoughts for a While? Is that what it is?
Find it. Find it for him. Find it for him. He's amazing. You're yeah. close. We'll find it. Yeah. Okay, let's talk Redick. We know there's no comparison with the benches. We know that.
Yeah.
We know... On 29 other teams, Jackson Hayes is not starting. He's awful. He was not only awful, but he's mouthy.
Yeah.
Then they have Gabe Vincent, who a couple years ago with the Heat was pretty good. And then they have Jared Vanderbilt, who's here, who, for a thin, skinny guy, it's just trying to cause trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, those three guys gave him nothing in the first half. And at some point in the second half, probably more just fourth quarter, we all started going, is he going to sub? is Redick going to make a change? And the answer is no, and I got it. We're going to get to some of the calls in a second. He almost wins the game, and I get what he's saying. You know what he's saying yesterday, Chipper? He's saying, if I don't win this, we can't win the series.
Yeah.
It's over. That's what he's saying. I just think when you have Luka, who is portly for an NBA player and is coming off an illness, and you have 40-year-old LeBron, the answer can't be the question, well, I asked the guys if they needed a break. What is LeBron James going to say? Yeah. He's not going to say, take me out. Luka, after feeling terrible that he felt terrible the game before, is not going to say, take me out. You take them out like a minute before a timeout or a minute before the end of the quarter. You milk it longer. You get them some rest. And I know they almost won the game, but you have to rest them, in my opinion.
Well, you know, the third quarter, I understand why he stayed with them, because that third quarter was incredible.
They were dominating.
The Wolves changed their defense coverage. They started blitzing Doncic on the pick and rolls, and they moved the ball. I mean, their ball movement,
great.
They were getting those corner threes, and Finney Smith was getting them, and Hachimura was getting them, and Reeves was getting them. But you're up 10, and I thought to start this fourth quarter, it's like, okay, he's going to go to Vando, maybe Gabe Vincent, just to buy him 2 minutes on the bench, and because you had a 10-point lead.
Yep.
And that's the thing. They can say, yeah, we almost won it. It's like, yeah, but you had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and you shot 4 of 18 in the fourth quarter.
Horrible.
I mean, you know, you can't tell me. I don't know if it was just Ant saying it, but he said he thought they looked gas, and some of their shots were coming up short. And, you know, Brian said, hey, we missed layups. I missed a layup. Luka missed a layup. You know, those are just – they had good looks, is what he said. But I had never – I mean, none of us had ever seen that. I mean, that strategy, he coached it as if that was it. That was the elimination game. Like, that was his game 7. That's the way he coached it. Like, I don't trust anyone, not even for a minute. And I just – you know, when you blow a 10-point lead and you shoot 4 of 18 – in the quarter and only score 19 points, you're going to get second guess. Like, you know, do you think you ran out of gas there? You know, I mean, they're not going to admit that they did. They're not going to admit to being tired. But I was baffled by the strategy, to be honest with you.
LeBron was, I don't want to say a bystander, but he was not essential to what they were doing in the fourth quarter. He just wasn't. And they've been outscored, the Lakers. The Wolves have outscored the Lakers 105-69 in the fourth. Here's the Lakers' offensive rating in the fourth, 83.1, and their defensive rating is 128. Think about that. They're losing by 45 rating points. Here's what they've shot in the fourth quarter. My guy Alan Horton, I was hanging with at halftime.
Yeah.
These numbers. Game one, they shot 28% in the fourth quarter. Game two, the Lakers shot 26%. In the fourth quarter. Game three, they shot 35%. And yesterday, they shot 28%. So let's get to a couple calls. When LeBron is saying the ball is the hand, he's 100% right. That is an NBA rule. But he fouled him on the wrist.
It's on the wrist.
I mean, now here's where it gets bizarre for me. And here's where it makes no sense to me. And here's where the league, I think they have to change this. So initially, it's ruled off Ant. Redick, rightfully so, uses his last timeout, advance the ball, set it up, okay? But then Finch, because the Wolves are so good at this, they're, I think, the second best in the league at challenging plays, and also the circumstances made it the right decision, they challenge. They know they're going to lose a timeout. They win. Why shouldn't the Lakers get their timeout back?
Yeah.
If the Lakers are calling a timeout thinking they have the ball, because that's exactly the initial ruling, and then when the Wolves win the challenge, and they should have, the Lakers should get their timeout back.
You should get your timeout back, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But it was the right call. I mean,
yes.
You know, LeBron, I actually went to the Lakers postgame yesterday because I wanted to write about Redick and all that. And,
yep.
I disagree with LeBron. I mean,
he's wrong.
Yes, they had the ball, but that was wrist. I mean, yep. That was absolutely wrist, and you could see it. So
okay, let's get now to Luka and Jaden. And I will say this, the first time I saw it, I tweeted out, I repeat, that's not a foul. I repeat, that's not a foul. Then, Chipper, I saw the other angle.
The other angle I saw, too. Yeah, a friend sent me last night. Yeah.
It's a foul. And it's hard because Luka's moving with, I mean, for him, Carl Lewis speed. And so Jaden can't just do the defensive shuffle, and that right foot steps in to Luka's path. If you're the offensive player, if you're Luka, and you create into Jaden's space, and you step on his foot, and you fall, too bad, that's on you. But Jaden clearly steps and impedes Luka's path, and that's when he steps on his foot. That should have been a foul.
Well, it's interesting, because if you see the replay where you're looking at Jaden.
Yes, correct.
You're just like, well, he just stepped on his foot. That's not a foul.
But then
a friend has sent me the I don't know what version of, is that coach's version or what that
I
is.
I think that is. It's more the up top square on look.
Yeah, and his, I guess it would be his back foot, not his lead foot, goes forward into Luka's path. So when J.J. Redick brought up, he's like, it's a blatant trip. I'm like, a blatant trip?
Yeah.
I just saw, that's not a blatant trip. He stepped on his foot. But they clearly saw that other one, too. So, it should have been a foul.
It should have been. By the way, then they don't have to turn the ball over in the inbounds pass.
Well, that was interesting because, you know, they had 2 seconds to get it across there.
Yeah.
And somebody asked LeBron about it, and he seemed annoyed. He even said, you know, everybody went to the front court. We had 2 seconds left. We should have put somebody in the back court, but that's enough time. So
he's right.
I don't know that they got a lot of attention from the LA media, but he was not happy with the plate that was drawn up for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
He had too many guys in the front court. Now Luka took responsibility. He said he went, I think, the wrong way or something. They had a miscommunication. So
it happens all the time because it happens all the time when you got to circle and get to front court. You can do it with momentum. The other thing about Luka, I'll just say, is because he complains more than any human being has ever complained in a 2.5 hour period, ever, God, he's infuriating. He's annoying. He's a great player, but God, he's annoying. He gets no sympathy from a lot of people. Oh, what a shocker. He's complaining because he's breathing, so he's complaining.
Well, that's a hard, and that's a hard call to make. When We saw a replay in freeze frame, and even then it's not super clear, right? I mean, you have to, replay it a bunch of times. So if you're just looking at it live, you just say, you stepped on a guy's foot, I mean, that's not a foul. And they didn't call travel, They did give him the ball,
correct.
So
they gave him some leeway.
But it's interesting the different angles if you look at it. But even then, that's a hard call to make.
It is. All right, short pause for traffic and weather, and then right back to Chip. Bonus segment, we're going to talk Wild and Vikings draft and let Chipper go. When we get to Jason, we're going to play a little bit of what Scott Pelley said last night leading into 60 Minutes, because I say, bravo. Journalism, standing up the government. But by the way, it shouldn't matter. Shouldn't matter the president. Now, this one wants to be lauded every second of the day, but people still should believe in journalism. And that was an example last night by Scott Pelley, taking on his bosses on national TV. That was tremendous. More of a Chip in moments. On to the Wild with Chipper. We know in numerous years, including 22 and 23, Chip, that the Wild had leads of 2-1. We know they haven't advanced out of the first round since 2015, but they've had a chance numerous years to take control. And I think it was a smidge below the basketball game Sunday, but I watched almost all that hockey game, and I know you covered Thursday Wild, Friday Wolves, Saturday, Wild. Sunday, Wolves. It was a run of tremendous sports, just tremendous sports. And that was a hellacious hockey game. And I get it. There's no sport where home ice, in this case, matters less than hockey. But when the other team was better than you, and when you had the 2-1 lead, and when the other team's top line was doing nothing, and you had a chance for a 3-1 lead, that is a hard, hard loss. Do you think the Wild lost the series Saturday late afternoon?
I don't know. I don't think I'd pick them to win it, but I don't know that I'm going to sit here and say that, you know, the sky is falling yet. But they – 3-1 would have felt a heck of a lot different than 2-2. That's
for sure.
And they opened the door when, you know, it's the young, you know, rookie defenseman, Bouillon, didn't control a stick and clip Stone as he skated by him and had
and they
tied it. And all of a sudden, it was absolutely obvious, right call. You got to control your stick. And that, to me, changed the game because they tie it up right after there and then they get momentum. And Vegas is, they're a really good team, right? But the Wild, I think they're showing now that they're healthy, they're a good team.
Yeah, so, there's a reason why they were so good in the first few months.
Would it surprise me if they go down there and win tomorrow night?
No,
because you have a goalie who's been good and you have a superstar. They need that top line to score again.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't continue it in game four, but they have the players. So, but it's to me, this is, and I wrote this, you talk about a ultimate test of your emotional toughness and ability to respond and regroup. This is it, because in hockey, more than any other sport, I think in the playoffs, it's like that. The ping pong of emotion and, you know, momentum where, you know, think about how Vegas feels right now, you know, coming home where it's even and they're on the ropes and potentially down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have home ice advantage again. So this is going to be a test to see if the Wild can, you know, respond.
If you want to say why it's different than other years, they had such sustained success when they're healthy that seemingly they're healthy, except it. Now, Eriksson came back after he was out the other day. He doesn't skate today. Just from reading the tweets, it seems more like that was more precautionary.
Sure.
And also, so far, they have the better goaltender. I mean, I know it's 2-2, but Gustafsson has been better than Hill.
Yeah, I mean, Gustafsson's been better. And to me, the thing that this is different is, we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, that how many times we talk about, oh, they had scoring chances, but they didn't convert him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a guy now that is a scorer, right? You have, those other teams didn't have a Kaprizov, you know?
Yeah. And Boldy, I mean, Boldy's not Kaprizov, but he's been awfully good.
He's been a superstar in his series.
Yep,
so,
right.
They just have more firepower now than those other teams did.
The and by the way, Zeev wasn't, you know, they benched him in overtime, and he wasn't skating with their main guys. I was buying more of the hype, I got to be honest, and I get it. It's incredible circumstances, but don't we have to be honest? He hasn't played well.
Yeah, and you know, it's been uneven, and you haven't seen really the dynamic skating and playmaking. But he's 19 years old.
Right. He's not Faber, though. I mean, we got spoiled a little bit by Faber, how good he was. And Faber only played two games in the regular season.
Two games, correct. Yeah. And Faber's been great, too.
Phenomenal.
He's just so steady. I mean, just so steady back there.
And Brodin, that defensive combo.
I know, they're so good.
So good to watch. Okay, let's get the purple real quick.
Yeah.
I talked about this collar on Friday because we're short on time. If you're Kwesi and you would have had the offer that the Rams received, okay, to move up from to still get the 46th pick, but other exchange and also get the Falcons' number one pick next year. The Falcons, just a team right now.
Yeah.
Would you have passed on Donovan Jackson and said, all of a sudden we're staring at two number ones and we've moved back 22 picks? Or do you say, man, we're so good right now. Good last year, had a really good offseason. We got to seize the moment.
I think I would have said seize the moment. I think they came in with a plan that said, we're not moving up, we're not moving down, we're going to take the best player right there, and we're going to fix our trenches. And when Kevin O'Connell said to my colleague Mark Craig's question after the season ended there, you know, about the offensive line, he said, we're going to fix the interior offensive line.
Yep.
He laid out the organizational blueprint, and that's what they've done. And I think they probably had two or three linemen that they liked and was going to take, and I think they just said, you know what, we're going to stay where we are. We're going to take the best lineman that we have that's available right then. And so I think their window, because of the age of this team, is 2 years. And I think they're just going to say, you know what, we're going to put as much talent as we can around J.J. McCarthy and go for it.
I thought it was sad that KOC was at the game yesterday. He should be prepping for next year's draft. What's he doing?
How committed is he?
All right, man. Thanks for the bonus time. Brother. We'll chat next week.
Absolutely.
Chipper with us. Scott Pelley taking on his bosses. Let's play it. I'm going to react. Let's get Jason to react. And you can chime in also. 651-461-9226. Linda's Construction Time Check. Better when I turn my mic on. 251. Time to upgrade your home with new siding and get free installation labor. That offer ends the end of the month. Scott Pelley, last night, 60 Minutes, about their executive producer, Bill Owens, who left, and the company he works for.
Bill resigned Tuesday. It was hard on him and hard on us, but he did it for us and you. Stories we pursued for 57 years are often controversial. Lately, the Israel-Gaza war and the Trump administration. Bill made sure they were accurate and fair. He was tough that way. But our parent company, Paramount, is trying to complete a merger. The Trump administration must approve it. Paramount began to supervise our content in new ways. None of our stories has been blocked, but Bill felt he lost the independence that honest journalism requires. No one here is happy about it, but in resigning, Bill proved one thing. He was the right person to lead 60 Minutes all along.
0 to 10, I love this 10+. This is Sherry Redstone getting involved with 60 Minutes and wanting to make sure that her multi-billion-dollar deal does not fall apart.
Right.
And I talk all the time about, ever since I started, I've been fortunate to work with the right people and give me tremendous leeway. The Timberwolves, my last game before I left because of Quinton's health issues, when Mark Madsen was shooting all the threes, we were playing Sound Effects, making fun of it. I'd agreed to become the Vikings play-by-play announcer. Dan Rowe was getting fired. And Roger Hedrick wanted to shut me up, Barrero up, Darren Nelson in common, and Mick and someone, Dan Seaman, said, see, and they came here and eventually came back. No one in this building tells you what to say, me what to say. And I love that. To go on national television is a way different level. The company that you work for, on their dime, on their signature show, and call them out, I love it. I thought it showed credibility. Are they patting themselves on the back a little bit? Sure. But we should pride ourselves in that. And I got it. Start the text, because when I brought it up on Twitter, it was, they're not mainstream. They're all lefties. I think 60 Minutes is still fantastic.
They'll call it. They'll destroy anybody.
Yeah. And by the way, the whole suit on what was said early in the day.
It's a load of crap.
It's total crap. Go ahead and explain, because editing and narrowing down interviews happens every day from Keokuk, Iowa,
always.
To New York, to WCC Radio and TV.
I just edited an interview with Kate Raddatz that we're going to air, and I took out the start of it, and I edited some pauses.
You took out her parts, mainly.
Yeah, she was talking a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, women.
Yeah.
It would be fair to, I mean, manipulative editing is a thing. It does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually it's done to, I mean, in a good news organization, you do it because you're trying to be faithful to what the person is actually trying to say.
Correct.
And so 60 Minutes could have helped them a little bit by maybe releasing the transcript and the full interview earlier.
Yeah.
And that, you know, yes.
I agree. That TikTok
there is
wasn't
some
handled the best. Yep.
But they put out an edited thing, and then the interview aired, and subsequently you've been able to look at the whole thing, and there was nothing manipulative about it.
No,
I mean, but the Trump people have created the narrative that it was manipulative, and now everyone just believes it, like, oh, it was. No, it was not.
You know who?
It was a Kamala interview.
A lot of manipulative stuff happens on right side television.
Yep.
Left side television. And radio, and I'm sorry if you're getting all uptight about 60 Minutes. The president lies about 35 times a day.
But I do, I think if you're a consumer of 60 Minutes or any of the CBS News programming, this also says a lot about the direct people who are running CBS. So the president of CBS News and stations worked at Channel 4 for a bit. I know her very well.
Yep.
Wendy McMahon. And they let this go on the air. So,
yeah,
I do think.
And they don't have to.
They sure don't.
Nope.
And that should give you, as a consumer, some comfort when you're watching the evening news, when you're watching CBS This Morning, when you're watching, you know, not that I'm shilling for CBS, because this same thing, I believe, would be true at NBC. And at ABC.
It should be.
But I don't know.
It's not all the time.
No show has the independence that 60 Minutes has. It's
right.
Different. But also 60 Minutes in our history is different. It's earned that. There have been movies made about 60 Minutes.
Yep.
It's worthy of that independence.
Exactly. And again, the president wants media that just genuflects towards
it. That's notice Pelly didn't quit, though.
Yeah.
No, you met the EP quits, all the big money, famous people, they're still showing up.
And Pella has called out his company before, so that wasn't a surprise. Jason, he's going to lead you up to 4:30 before the Twins and Cleveland.